Corinthians chapter 6 this evening. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. We looked last week at verses 9, 10, and 11. The unrighteous not inheriting the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Sometimes the challenge is trying to follow the thoughts of the writer. From where he goes from one passage to another passage, from one verse to another verse, and try to understand his direction. Sometimes it's simple and it's easy, but sometimes it can be challenging. And tonight we're in one of those portions of Scripture. We'll begin in verse number 12 and read down to the end of the chapter, finishing 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. So follow along if you would as we begin in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul writes these words: "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats." I kind of like that part. "But God shall destroy both it and them." Not so crazy about that one. "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he was just joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against," excuse me, "his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this Sunday evening, for these folks that have made it a priority in their lives to be back in your house among your people tonight. And God, we pray for your blessing because of it. Father, we pray that you would feed us from your word. May what we hear tonight encourage and challenge us. Father, may our fellowship one with another and just the unity and the spirit in which we gather be an encouragement and a blessing to us. We pray for those that are not physically able to be with us tonight, that God, you would bless them. But Father, bless especially those that are here in the auditorium. Meet with us in a very special way and feed us from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled the message on the basis of verse number 12, "Drawing the Line." Drawing the line. Verse 12 is almost a stand-alone verse. It says this: "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." He said, "All things are lawful to me, for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Drawing the line. Now, Paul is writing to an extremely carnal church. And we have been reading about that, and we're not even touching the surface of the carnality of that church. And this passage that we're in tonight just shows their utter disregard for purity and holiness and sanctification. But Paul, in writing to them, he's telling them they need to draw a line. And the line is not where we think it is, between right and wrong, between what you can do and what you can't do. Now, there's some of that in there, but I believe Paul's drawing a line between what you can do and what you should do. Not everything that we can do, should we do. We have liberty in Christ. We can do anything we want to do, and our salvation is safe and secure. But that doesn't give us permission to do what we want to do. The problem with the church at Corinth is that they were taught by the Apostle Paul, and they were taught their salvation was secure. And they took it to such an extent, apparently, that they didn't think it didn't matter what they did. It didn't matter how they lived. They were doing something extremely immoral and gross. And yet they had the confidence that this didn't affect their salvation and sometimes maybe not even their relationship with God. And Paul had to enforce to them that it's not a matter of right and wrong sometimes, it's what you can do and what you should do. And you and I face the same decisions many times in our life. Can I? Should I? Can I wear those clothes? Can I go out in public looking like that? Yes, you can. Should you? Probably not. Can I do this? Can I do that? Whatever the situation might be, whatever can I have a cell phone? Sure you can. Should I spend 10 hours a day looking at my electronic device? Absolutely not. You know, parents, we're the ones that used to yell at our children about spending so much time in front of the video games. And now we're spending that much time in front of our telephones or our computers or something else. Are we not allowed to do it? Can we not do it? Don't we have the freedom and the liberty to do it? Absolutely we do. But should we do it? That's what Paul's saying in verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Can I give you, at the introduction here, can I give you two rules for drawing the line? And I could have entitled my sermon that, but it's only a little part of the introduction. Two rules for drawing the line. How do I know what between what I can do and what I should do? The first one's right there in verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. There's the question. Is it expedient? So what does the word expedient mean? It means necessary. Do I need to do that right now? Whatever the situation is, whatever the temptation is, whatever. And again, we're not talking about temptations to sin. We're just talking about opportunities to do things. We shouldn't be asking, is it right or is it wrong? We probably know the answer to that. But can I do it or should I do it? Is it expedient? Is it necessary? Do we need to do it? Now, we're not talking about everything you do throughout the day that you put to this test, but the things that puzzle you. The things that you contemplate and wonder, should I or shouldn't I? Is it expedient? Is it necessary? That's the first rule. The second rule is a few pages over. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And by the wonders of our English Bible and our English language, there's another word that starts with the letter E that gives us our second rule. The first one is it expedient? Meaning, is it needful? Is it necessary? Do I have to do this? The second rule is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. There's that same word, rule number one. All things are lawful for me, notice it, but all things edify not. So that gives us both of them. It gives us the one for 1 Corinthians 6. Is it expedient? Is it needful? Is it necessary? The other one is, does it edify? What that means is it helpful? Will it encourage someone else? Will it help someone else? If someone else saw me doing this or whatever the situation is, would it be a blessing and encouragement to them? Sometimes we forget or we ignore the fact that God sees everything we do. And sometimes it'd be good to remind ourselves, and whatever the situation is, what if someone else was watching right now? Would I do this? And again, not necessarily that's not something is necessarily wrong. We know the answer there. But something that we could do, but probably shouldn't do, does it edify? Is it helpful? Now here's how we usually measure things. Does it hurt anybody? I've heard that so many times. I've heard people say, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. And of course, the answer is always this. Well, you're hurting yourself. But someone would say, I'm not hurting anybody. That's not the question. Are you helping anybody? Is what you're doing going to be helpful for someone else? The church at Corinth was destroying their testimony and destroying their reputation within the community around them and the Gentiles. And in the midst of that, some new convert, somebody gets saved to the church of Corinth, and they walk into that church, and they're not doing things that are expedient. They're not doing things that edify. They're doing whatever they want to do. And they're not things that they should do. So Paul is appealing to them on the basis of verse number 12, appealing to them in these verses to make a decision, to draw a line between what they can do and what they should do. Now, Paul draws that line on the basis of three things. I want you to notice this very quickly. And this is more of the technical outline part of it, so we'll go through this. But notice, he first of all appeals to them. He appeals to them on the basis of God the Father. Look at verse number 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God, you might want to circle that word, underline it, God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body, and God. Twice he mentions God, once in verse 13 and verse 14, and he's saying, for the sake or on the basis of God the Father. When the Bible uses the term God, G-O-D, capital G obviously, it's referring to the Father. And on the basis of the Father, on the perspective of the Father, we should draw a line between what we technically can do and what we should do. So he appeals to God the Father. Then notice verse number 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? So second of all, the first one was verse 12 to 14. Verse 15 to 18, he appeals to them on the basis of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives them a principle. Not a perspective, but a principle. That we are members with Christ. We're part of his body. And what we do, he does. Now I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the mystery of the body of Christ. I can teach it to you. I can explain it. But I can't understand it. The Apostle Paul apparently understood it. When he says this in verse number 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I'll confess to you, I don't know what he means by that. It's spirit with a small s, so I understand that part, and trying to dissect that verse and digest that verse and understand that verse, I don't understand the mystery of the body of Christ. But Paul is appealing them on that basis, on the basis of the Son of God, that we not give ourselves or yield ourselves to those things that we could do but probably shouldn't do. On the basis of God the Father, verse 12 to 14. On the basis of God the Son, verse 15 to 18. On the basis of God the Holy Ghost, verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You notice the Trinity is in this passage of Scripture. And so the decisions that we make in our life for God should be made based on God's person. Not on our desires, not on our wishes, not on our wants, but on God. So when we draw this line, not between good and evil, we know where that line is most of the time. But when we draw the line between those things that we can do and the line between the things that we should do, we need to consider God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Notice those as we look through the passage this evening. Verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Again, we're not talking about sin when we look at this verse. We're talking about things that control us, like the computer or the television or the internet or different things that just demand that they consume our time and our energy. We're devoted to them. They're constant in our life. And they're not necessarily something that's evil, but something that's not expedient. Something that doesn't edify, but something with which we waste our time and spend our time doing something. Now, that doesn't mean we can't have hobbies. Doesn't mean we can't have entertainment. Doesn't mean everything has to be serious 24/7 and all that. But it does mean this: we need to guard our hearts and our lives against those things that are frivolous, those things that are not expedient, needful, those things that are not, that don't edify, helpful. Guard ourselves against those. I'll give you a personal testimony. I asked my wife, because I don't know how to do it, take Facebook off of my cell phone. I just said, take it off. Now, I enjoy going on there because I have cousins in Texas, cousins in California. I've got kids scattered around. And I like watching that. I like looking on there to see who's on there. But I found myself, especially in the evenings, just scrolling down through there and reading all kinds of just junk. I don't think any of it's sinful. It wasn't bad stuff. It was just advertisements and sports stuff and all this kind of stuff. And I would catch myself, I'd look, and 20 minutes later, I have just sat there looking through this list of absolutely nothing for all that time. Now, I'm giving you a personal testimony, so don't feel guilty. I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about me. So I said, take that off for me. Take that app right off there. And it's been about a week or so like that, and it's just like, now I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. What do I do? Oh, maybe I'll pick up my Bible and read it some more. Maybe I'll do something a little more constructive, something a little more edifying, something that exhorts a little bit more. Now, I do miss looking at it because I'm missing world-changing information by not looking at Facebook three or four times a day. So it still is on my computer. And so when I do put my computer on, I come in to do work or so, I can catch up on it. It'll tell me I got 19 announcements, 19 things that I missed. And so I go click on that to look at what they are, and none of them were anything. I've not missed a thing by doing that. All right, I'm just giving that it's not something that's sinful necessarily, but something that doesn't edify, something that's not expedient, something I don't need to be investing my time and my attention into that's not doing any good for anything. All right, am I making that clear? I use myself as an example. That gets everybody else off the hook. All right, except that your husband or wife or your kids or your parents are looking at you right now and telling you that, the same thing. But that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about sin and non-sin. We're talking about what edifies and what is expedient and what is not. And you can open that up. Man, that can cover so many areas and so many things in our life. Mine is Facebook. I don't know anything about whatever the other ones are. TikTok, the other clock. I don't know what all those things are, you know, all that stuff. But if it consumes us, if it demands, if we're under, what did Paul say there in verse number 12? I will not be brought under the power of any. All right, if it controls us, get rid of it. Even if it's not a bad thing necessarily. Just get rid of it so that nothing controls you. I don't know why I'm doing this. This used to be a Catholic church. So I guess that's why I'm making all these confessions right now. But I've also given up Coca-Cola. Yeah, that'll shock you to death, won't it? Told my son Robert yesterday, he was down. I said, well, I'm weaning myself off. I had a terrible headache at church this morning. My head was exploding because I haven't had that caffeine. I had a little bit for lunch today to break that habit. But I'm getting, you know why? Because it controls me. I'm thinking around saying, I need another Coca-Cola to drink. I need another one. And three or four times a day, five, four, sometimes more than that, but just all the time. And so I'm trying to break off that. Why? Because it's not, and it, again, now, some of you might disagree. I don't think it's sinful to drink it. Now, you know, some health people would say, well, with the sugar that's in that thing and all that. Yeah, okay, I understand. But just breaking away from it so that we're not under control. We can do it. Sure, I can do it. But should I do it? Now, take that and apply it to whatever it is in your life that controls you, that motivates you, that binds you. And use Paul's principle. Is it expedient? Does it edify? I mean, going to the kids' house with the grandkids there, and they don't have pop in their house, and so I buy one on the way and take it and drink it in front of the kids who aren't allowed to drink it. You know what this? It sounds like the old uncle alcoholic guy, you know, that's got to buy his drink on the way over there and then hide it from the kids, you know, pour it in his cup back here. And I caught myself doing that with my Coca-Cola, and I thought, this is not right. All right, no more confessions. That's it. The rest is none of your business, all right. All right, but that's Paul's principle. I'm trying to make that point. That's his principle. And again, we're not drawing the line between sin and innocence. We know that there's a line. We know what that is. And Paul is going to deal with something that's obviously on the other side of that line. But at the same time, many times our line is not between that. It's between what we can do and what we should do. And so look at verse 13. I like this. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. You know how I picture Paul saying that? I picture him saying it with a wave of his hand. Meats for the belly and belly for meats. It's like, I don't care. That's not important. You have to eat to survive. We're not making a big deal about that. He says later in 1 Corinthians, when you sit down to eat, ask not for your conscience sake what it is or where it came from. But if you know it was sacrificed to idols, then don't eat it lest you make someone else. So Paul's just saying, it said the food is not that big a deal. Don't make a big deal out of that. Those things are not important. But he says at the end of verse number 13, but God shall destroy both of them. Now the body is not for fornication. So something is important. But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So there is a line to be drawn between what is right and what is wrong. What you can do and not lose your salvation, and what you should do. And the church at Corinth had obliterated that line if they'd even ever drawn one in the first place. So draw your line. Be conscious that there's a need for a line. And not just between right and wrong, but between can do and should do. Then look, if you would, down at verse number 15, and I always skip verse 14, but God hath raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. But in verse 15, very familiar verse, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Verse 16, what, know ye not that he was adjoined to a harlot is one body? He's not just talking about fornication in the general sense. He's talking about men with harlots. We call them prostitutes in our day. But that's the word that Paul is using. This is a continuous, ongoing thing with the members of the church in Corinth. They are a mess. And they have not drawn a line even between can do and should do. They have not drawn it between can do and don't do. And Paul is telling them, you can't do that. You can't join your bodies to a harlot. Now again, he's comparing it to the mystery of the body of Christ, which is beyond my comprehension. That we are members with his body. He's using that as a motivation not to join with a harlot. Now I don't know if this is true or not. Historians, when it comes to this passage of Scripture, tell us that the temple of Aphrodite was there in Corinth, and in that temple there were a thousand temple prostitutes, and that's what Paul is making reference to. I don't know. It could be that the mention of the word harlots means this is outside. And here's what challenges me. Paul is talking about these men being guilty of doing this with harlots, and yet back in chapter 5 and verse 1, the man committed a sin that was far worse than what they're doing right here. I can't even fathom that. How could that be worse than what they're doing right here? And yet the whole church, many of the church were involved in this. One man was in chapter 5 and verse number 1, and they said, church him for it. And this one, Paul's just saying, stop doing it. There's a lot that challenges my thoughts here. Paul says that your bodies are the members of Christ. Where you go, Jesus goes. What you do, Jesus does. We need to ask his forgiveness for a lot of things that we do, for a lot of places that we go, for a lot of things that we say, for a lot of ideas or thoughts that pop into our mind. Because we are in these human bodies that are controlled by an old nature most of the time. And most of what we do is not favorable to being part of the body of Christ, to being a member. That's something, folks, we just don't deserve. To be one with Christ, to be part of his body, to be one of his chosen, as it were, and saved and redeemed by his blood. There's nothing worthy in us for that, and yet he has done that. And we thank God for it. Because of that, should we do this? Should we do that? Can we? Yes. Should we? No. Learn where to draw the line. For the sake of God the Father. For the sake of God the Son. He says in verse 16, "What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he is shall be one flesh." Again, verse 17, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." He says in verse 17, "Flee fornication." This sin that these men in the church at Corinth were committing in a continual and thing, they were violating the principles of their own body. The way God designed it, the way God made it, the way God formed it. This is not how he did it. He said, "For this cause shall a man be joined to his wife and cleave to her, and they twain shall be one flesh." God's desire for do that. And he says, flee fornication. Flee from any kind of moral uncleanness. Joseph did, didn't he? Joseph did. And he did it at the sake of being cast into prison. Because he was falsely accused and thrown into the prison for fleeing fornication. David did not flee fornication. He took Bathsheba. He got to stay in the palace. You know what the casual observer would say about that? David did better than Joseph did. Because David got to stay in the palace. Joseph ended up in prison. But you know what the Bible teaches us? Joseph did better than David did. The poor pauper did better than the king of Israel. And Paul tells us, flee it. Flee it. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. God has designed our bodies for a specific purpose. When it comes to this area of sexuality, God has designed it for a specific purpose and has a specific plan. And anytime you violate that plan, you put yourself in a danger zone. And the world wants to deny that. The world wants to ignore that and say, just have free liberty and anything. Just do what you want to. And it's total chaos and it's a mess. It leaves physical scars, which the Bible says, he that committeth sin committeth against his own body. It leaves emotional scars. It leaves all kinds of societal scars, adultery and the things that happen because and a result of it. And so Paul simply says, just flee it. Just get away from it. In the name of the Son of God, in obedience to the Son of God, knowing that you're part of his body, don't join it to a harlot. Again, I don't understand all that Paul's writing about in here, but I know this. He's saying, draw a line. On the basis of God the Father, on the basis of God the Son, and then beginning in verse 19, in the basis of God the Holy Ghost. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Look back at chapter 3 and verse number 16. Back in chapter 3 and verse 16. A lot of these things that Paul says in Corinth pop up over and over again in different chapters because he's driving home the same theme many times. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The Spirit of God has made its home in you, dwelleth in you. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." You know what the people in Corinth were doing? They were tempting God to destroy their bodies by their sinful activity. Look back at Romans chapter 1. And I know we've pointed this out many times before. Kind of off the topic right there. Romans chapter 1. Anytime we violate God's principles on human sexuality, we endanger ourselves. That's why God gave us that protection. Again, we talked about it a little this morning. God did not give us rules and regulations to punish us, to restrict us, but to protect us. And to protect us, it says back here, when a man commits a fornication, he sinneth against his own body. Back here in Romans chapter 1, you know the story, verse number 27. Romans chapter 1, verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now, I don't need to say anything to make that any clearer than it is right there. You know exactly what's going on. But notice what it says at the end of the verse. And receiving in themselves, not upon themselves, but in themselves, that recompense of their error, which was meet. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I so designed this body that when you violate the principles for which I set it up, it triggers something. And when men with men doing that which is unseemly, something is in them that they violate that gets triggered when they do it. So now you know what we do? We invent all kinds of chemicals and drugs and medications to try to offset that. Instead of accepting what the Bible says, that it's a violation of God's principle of human sexuality. And we come up with all kinds of drugs for other things like that and reasons for that. Whereas if you went to the old-fashioned biblical standard that the world thinks is so puritanical of staying pure until marriage and staying faithful to one person all your life, if you do that, you don't have to worry about any of those things. And here Paul says to them, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Anywhere I go, the Spirit of God goes. I take him with me. It says, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Can I do it? Should I do it? Whose decision is it to make? Not mine, but God's. God decides whether I should do it. Does it edify? Is it expedient? Do I need to do this thing? Use that as your test. For ye are bought with a price, he says in verse 20. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look over to chapter 7, verse number 23. Again, Paul says this same statement from chapter 6 and verse 20. Ye are bought with a price. You know what that price was? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. You're bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Don't let society, now that's a different context, but don't let society decide what you do. Don't let them draw the line between right and wrong, between what you can do and what you should do. Draw that line on the basis of God the Father. Draw that line on the basis of God the Son. Draw that line on the basis of God the Holy Ghost. And when you draw the line there, it'll be a straight line. It'll be an unchanging line. See, the world's standard is always changing. What used to be wrong is now acceptable. And what used to be acceptable many times is now wrong if it's puritanical or Christian or anything along that line. So draw the line. Paul is telling them, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. Is it needful? Is it helpful? Can you do it? Should you do it? That's a summary of Paul's statements in verse 12 down to verse number 20. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.